Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that is in you. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to turn our hearts toward you. May we be drawn toward you, nearer to you this morning as we worship together. And I pray that your Spirit will speak through Bob now as he opens the word to us. Use this message and this word to stir our hearts and to draw us nearer to you. And we ask your blessing on Bob now as he shares. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Trulin. It is a privilege to be here to share with you again. Donna and I enjoyed the first Sunday with the Way of Cross group, as I, in fact, shared the same message with them the other week. Appreciated those songs as well. Indeed, I trust it's each one of our desires as God's children to be drawn nearer to Him. After all, that is the only place of peace, perfect peace. And both of those songs, I believe, referred to a different of the songs this morning, referred to the fact of the shed blood of Christ that was shed for us to forgive us our sins and to give us that peace and perfect peace. I've entitled my message this morning, Spiritual Blessings in Christ Jesus, referring to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. As you turn to that, I'll just make a few opening comments. Ephesians was written by Paul as a letter of encouragement and admonition. It was written to all of us to remind us of Christ's immeasurable, abundant blessings in Christ Jesus. We are not only to be thankful for these great blessings, but also to live in a manner that can be more worthy of them. Yes, obedience is the key to enjoy the immeasurable and abundant blessings in Christ Jesus. My prayer this morning is that this message will truly encourage all of us to live that fully committed walk with God in obedience and in His word of truth and in godliness to Him who loved us so much that He died and gave His life for us. Because of all the blessings in Christ Jesus, perhaps we are tempted to sit back and enjoy all these blessings and just let them pour out upon us. I would like to challenge us with that truth that, you know why the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea? Because it only has an inlet. It does not have an outlet. May each one of us be vessels that God's blessings can flow through us. May we not be a valve that is only partially opened to allow God's blessings to flow through us, but be wide open and be a vessel fit for the Master's use, for God to use for His spiritual blessings to flow through us to all those around us. Reminds me of the song, Channels Only. How I praise Thee, precious Savior, that Thy love laid hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me. Why? So that I might Thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power, flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour. Like the prophets of old, we must proclaim God's wake-up call by our lives and by our witness. We must be reminded not to forget God and all that He's done for us in Christ Jesus. Let's not be like the children of Israel who once they inherited the promised land flowing with milk and honey, they forgot God. I'm reminded of a the song also, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Yes, even here in the Wilmersdorf area. Now let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus that attend Wilmersdorf Mennonite Church. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. We notice here in the beginning that Paul starts out with his authorship and his greeting as he normally does. He states that he is an apostle. How? By the will of God. Yes, it is God's will that all of us serve him as faithful workers in his kingdom. After all, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge. And so he calls us to be a faithful witness for him. Also notice that Paul is not only writing this to the saints at Ephesus, but also to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So Ephesians is written for each one of us who are steadfast and loyal in our daily walk with God in Christ Jesus. In verse 2, Paul includes a blessing in his greeting of God's grace, or his unmerited favor, and peace, or harmony, which are from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing God's grace and peace are to each one of us as his children. As we stop and think about it, in fact, is there anything greater than God's unmerited favor, his grace, and the peace that we can have? When we lay our head on our pillow at night, we can have that peace and assurance as we walk with God in obedience and truth, that our soul, all is well with our soul, and all is well in our relationship with our Creator God. grace and peace come from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there are 3 points in overview of verses 3 through 14, which my Bible entitles this section as Spiritual Blessings in Christ Jesus. First of all, in verse 3, refers to the riches of God's grace, again, and His undeserved favor and mercy in redeeming us back to Himself in connection and relationship with Him by adopting us as His very own sons and daughters. Secondly, verse 3 through 14, reveal the roles of the triune God in redeeming us back to Himself. First of all, verses 3 through 6, God the Father is pictured as the one who devised the whole plan of salvation before the foundation of the world. And verse 7 shows that God the Son carried out the plan. How? By leaving the glories of heaven, coming to this sin-cursed earth as a babe, growing up and teaching on God's kingdom, revealing God's power through His healing, and then shedding His life blood and purchasing our redemption and forgiveness once for all. Hallelujah. Then verse 13 to 14 shows how God the Holy Spirit included us in Christ when we believed, and He lives within us as the guarantee or down payment of our complete redemption in Christ Jesus. Then thirdly, verses 3 through 14, Paul states the believer's position in God's grace that we can enjoy because of His grace. And then he goes on to list in those verses 9 spiritual blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. First of all, as I referred to earlier, God the Father blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes, God the Father is the foundation or the source of all and every single one of our spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. The Father in Christ Jesus and guarantees by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within us that we are God's adopted children as we are redeemed in Christ. Verse 3 also refers to the fact or teaches us that we are to praise, to honor, to glorify God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are to worship God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. After all, this is the supreme duty of all of God's creation. Different of the Psalms talk about nature and trees clapping their hands and so on. You picture the worship of God's creation. It's part of the purpose of our creation, of all creation, is to worship, praise, honor, and glorify God the Father. Psalms 103, verses 1 through and 2 teach us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Yes, praise God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4 point out that God the Father, according as His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness in His Word. How? Through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue, which means excellence, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Why? That by these ye may be also partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yes, let's praise and worship God for all the Father, for all His spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. The second spiritual blessing is referred to in verse 4. God has chosen you and me. Remember how good it felt to be chosen in school when you were choosing softball team or volleyball team or some kind of a team, when your name was chosen sort of toward the first in the beginning, how did that make you feel? Well, that made you feel pretty good, right? Well, verse 4 brings out the fact that God the Father has chosen us, and His purpose in choosing you and me is to be holy, consecrated, set apart for Him, and to live blamelessly or above reproach for Him who is our boss or our judge. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 teaches, "But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy, for God is holy." So how do we become holy? By only as we surrender our lives and our all on the altar to Jesus Christ to be our Savior and our Lord. And as we seek to know Him and His will and walk in obedience to His will. Reminds me of the song, "I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before." How does that happen? So I'll give Him more of me. Yes, I want more of His great love, full and rich and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. Yes, praise God, that in Christ we have been blessed with everything we need for life and godliness, as 1 Peter brought out, including the power to live holy and blameless lives above reproach and for God's honor and glory and praise. What a challenge to live a life that is above reproach for our Master, for our Lord, for Jesus. Sadly, it's so often I fail, or we fail, to live up to God's standard of love, even in our relationships with one another and with others in life. And we are called by God to constantly be aware that our actions and reactions and our relationships in life, that we make right choices to live above reproach, and that we bring honor and glory to God through our lives, by our lips. As the song says, can men tell that you've been with Jesus? Can tomorrow morning and the rest of this week people tell that you met with Jesus on Sunday morning? Can they, by your lives and mine, see in daily walk and action, and I might add reactions that we have, that we have His love divine? The third blessing in Christ Jesus is in verse 5. It says that God predestined us, or marked us out ahead of time, to be His adopted child. Some people get stuck on that word predestination. What does it really mean? Well, it means that God marked us out ahead of time as He knew what our choices would be in life. But remember that God's sovereign choice or predestination in no way forces any individual to believe or keeps anyone from believing in Jesus. The gospel invitation is real, and each individual freely chooses to believe or to reject the gospel message. Remember, there are only two options. We can't ride the fence. We can't choose one and a half and not choose two. If we don't choose to accept God's plan of redemption, then we are choosing the wages of sin, which is what? Death and hell. The choice is ours. At Heralds of Hope, we have a tract that's been translated in different languages around the world and has proved very effective. And it's entitled, "The Choice is Yours." The question is, what are you and I choosing each and every moment of every day? Yes, the exciting miracle here in verse 5, that God has chosen to adopt you and me as His very own child. The Amplified in verse 5 would say, because it pleased Him and was His kind intent or plan. A number of the songs again this morning referred to God's mercies. It was God's great mercy that He chose to adopt us as His children. Wow, isn't that amazing that God chose you and me to be His very own child? God receives us into His family, just like our daughter and son-in-law, Glenn and Rachel, did each of the four times that they received a call from the adoption agency that there's another baby for them to adopt. But they had a choice to make. Were they going to say yes to that child to adopt them as their very own? And I might say it came at great cost to them as well. So it is with God. God chose to adopt you and me as His children at great sacrifice and cost as well. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die that cruel death of the cross, to redeem us back into relationship with Himself. Praise God, we can be children of the King. Hallelujah, we can have all those blessed privileges in His kingdom as Glenn and Rachel's adopted children have in their home and family. Adopted. Yes, we are His. We belong to Him. He is our Abba, Father. When we really come to this blessed knowledge and truly experience our position of sonship and daughtership, it completely transforms our walk with God. Words fail to describe how God in Christ Jesus truly loves and enjoys us as His adopted children, according to the good pleasure of His will. That would say to me that He wants to enjoy me and you as His adopted child, right? Again, the very core of the gospel message brings that out in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then as John 1:12 promises, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power or authority and privilege and right to become the sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on His name. God's election or predestination of us to be His adopted child, again, does not operate apart from or nullify our individual responsibility to choose to believe and accept Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord. Remember, God has no grandchildren. Cheryl, don't you pity God. He doesn't have any grandchildren. How we love our grandchildren. But God only has children, only a personal relationship with those that He's adopted, because they're redeemed, because they have confessed Him as their Savior and Lord. God, we are God's adopted child. Romans 8:15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." As parents, many of us recall the nights we hung our hand out over our bed while one of our children fearfully laid on the floor beside us because of their fears. They woke up with a nightmare or something. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I believe that God, our Father in heaven, who has adopted each one of us to be His child, does nothing less than hold our hands through the storms of life. Again, right, Cheryl? I don't mean to pick on you this morning, but you have felt God's hand with you the last while, reaching out and helping you walk your valley and storm of life that you have faced. What a beautiful picture. God loves us as His adopted child. 2 Corinthians 6:18 yet says, "I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We are on the winning side. Savior, we are thine. Our relationship and connectedness with God, our Father in Christ Jesus, is indeed a spiritual blessing." Number four. The fourth blessing of God in Christ has made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse 6. We all need to feel accepted and loved. To belong is one of our basic human needs to survive and thrive in life. People will do all kinds of things to try to feel accepted by their father or their mother or family members or peers or the culture today. Many are driven even to thoughts of harming themselves if they don't feel they belong or are loved. But in Christ Jesus, we have value. Yes, we are fully loved. Yes, we are accepted. Yes, we are forgiven. We are made righteous and become a part of God's family. We belong. We belong as God's children. He's chosen us. He accepts us in His beloved family. As the song says, you will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family. And these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. The fifth blessing of God in Christ Jesus is in verse 7. He has redeemed us by His precious blood. Yes, this is the price that God paid to manifest His grace and adopt us as His children. Redemption is deliverance from self and sin and salvation from the slave market of sin. Redeemed means to be made righteous, to be washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, I'm redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, then forever I am. Yes, praise God, we are set free from sin's power and bondage. How? By the precious shed blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So what a glorious blessing that we can be redeemed, we can be washed, we can be made righteous by the precious shed blood of Christ, where Christ sees us not as we are, but as righteous through the shed blood of Christ. The sixth blessing of God in Christ Jesus. In verse 8, says He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Yes, He lavished upon us every kind of wisdom, understanding, and prudence or practical insights. Again, referring back to that verse in 2 Peter, where it talks about He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. as James talks about, that if we lack wisdom, to cry out to Him, and He will give it to us as we ask in faith, believing. Praise God, as His adopted child, we have the source of wisdom and discernment for our walk in life, which is so crucial in today's culture. I was just listening to a message on the way here this morning that talked about the importance of not being deceived, and even referred to that verse where Christ says in one of the Gospels about being careful that we're not deceived, and will He find faith on the earth when He comes? In today's culture, there's all kinds of false voices trying to get our attention and to believe this way or to believe that way and so on. We need God's wisdom and discernment to be careful with all the teachings around us in these days. Remember this promise and blessing. God lavished upon us every kind of wisdom, understanding, and prudence or practical insight. The seventh blessing that God made known to us, His will, in verses 9 and 10. Yes, God is revealed to us as His adopted children in His Word, His grand plan and purpose to bring all things to climax at the end of the ages, and to unify all things, to consummate them in Christ Jesus. Yes, there's coming a day when time as we know it will end, and God will judge mankind and usher in the new kingdom with Christ as the head. Yes, we know the end game, and God and His adopted children will be the winners. Hallelujah. Indeed, it's a blessing that God has made known to us His grand plan in His eternal Word. The eighth blessing that He gives us is an inheritance that's referred to in verses 11 and 12. So how excited are you about God's inheritance? Are you as excited about that Word? Hearing that Word in the message this morning from His Word is what you would be as if you got a phone call or a letter in the mail that you just inherited a lot of money. God has given us an eternal inheritance. Yes, the God that's sovereign, in control over all the world, He's on His throne, He's written up an eternal will. And each one of us is His adopted children that are redeemed, are named in His will. As verse 12 says, the reason for is the praise of His glory. As we live for the praise of His glory, in other words, in obedience and truth, we will receive His promised eternal inheritance. Remember that Jesus promised and said in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Just can't imagine how people go through life storms without that eternal hope. So what a blessing indeed to have our eternal hope as God's adopted child, that someday we will be with our Jesus face to face and enjoy His presence and glory throughout the endless ages of eternity. The final blessing, number 9, that we see in verses 13 and 14 are that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This seal is to confirm God's ownership of us as His adopted child. We are like branded to be identified as owned by Him. when they were settling the Wild West and had their cattle and so on, what did they do to know the owner of each of the cattle? They would brand them. They'd take a hot iron and put their initial or whatever on that animal, and that animal belonged to that farmer. Well, God has sealed you and I as his adopted child that have been redeemed with the brand of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives to live for him, to represent him. Glenn and Rachel had a legal process to go through and have adoption papers for each of their four children that states that they are indeed an official adopted child of Glenn and Rachel Zare. So the Holy Spirit is God's legal papers, his brand, his guarantee on each one of us that we are his eternal child and we have that eternal inheritance promised to us. All who have the Holy Spirit living within have God's seal or brand that he belongs to the heavenly family. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 yet, in the talking about our inheritance. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for each one of us as God's adopted child, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. Praise God, hallelujah, what a glorious inheritance we have. And the promise of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to melt us, to mold us, to make us more into Christ's image, to reveal to us the truths of God's Word and empower us to apply it to our life, to our walk, to our relationships, to our decisions, and our choices in life. Yes, the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee, or our brand again, for our eternal inheritance that's reserved for us as we live faithfully to the praise and honor and glory of Jesus. Just a short review then of these nine blessings in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 1 through 14. First of all spiritual blessings in God through Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Secondly, God has chosen us with a purpose to be holy and blameless and to live for his glory. Thirdly, God predestined us to be his adopted child. Fourth, God made us accepted. We belong in the beloved. Fifthly, Christ redeemed us again by his precious shed blood of Christ our Savior. Sixth, Christ abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence and practical insights and direction. Seven, Christ made known to us his will and plan and purpose. Eight, God gave us an eternal inheritance. And number nine, God seals us with his Holy Spirit as a guarantee of eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, indeed, we worship you and praise you and thank you and bless you with all our soul and mind and heart for all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, for your great and wonderful plan of salvation, that whosoever believes can have life eternal, can have our sins forgiven, and we can be empowered by the presence and working of your Holy Spirit in our lives. I pray for each one here this morning. You know our individual needs and concerns. our joys and our sorrows. You know our struggles. You know what we're facing today and tomorrow. Not only do you know, but you care. And you've given us these spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus and faithful promises in your word that we can review and remind ourselves of and be empowered to make those right choices and to be a vessel fit for you to use for your honor and glory and your kingdom building. So I just pray that you'd minister to and through each one of us and bless us and make us a blessing again for your honor and for your glory. I pray for a special blessing upon the leadership of this church, that you would continue to bless them and to challenge them, to give them wisdom and discernment and guidance to, as they be faithful to teaching the word, and that each one in this church might be a faithful witness for you throughout their days and relationships, and that together we might be serve you as a faithful church body and bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you again for who you are, for all you've done for us, and what you will do for us as we put our faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.